Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Friday, April 8th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. Let's get the show over with and kick off a great weekend. I don't know why it's a great weekend, because it's the freaking weekend, baby. Let's have me some fun. you know, I love Fridays because we don't plan a lot of the show. Most of it is mailbag questions. And also got a little hometown hero option for us today, Chris, that I'm excited about. I think it's going to be a slam dunk. So a lot to talk about. The one thing I wanted to kind of vent to you about, I'm over this whole YouTube shit. I really am. Like, we put up videos. So we put out three videos. A fourth one is sitting there, uploaded and done. But of the four, two of them got copyright claims. They're all for the same type of video, right? We pull a game, download it, make a cut up, and then I analyze and break down that game, right?
We pull it from YouTube. Like, we don't pull, it from anywhere else. YouTube.
And what happens is it is 100% legally, under the law, copyright law, it is protected under fair use. Meaning, if we use it and the purpose of our video is my commentary or me teaching you something, it's 100% legal for us to use. But because YouTube has this algorithm that scans all videos, they will pull it down for a copyright claim. And if we fight it, if we get three strikes, they'll take our whole channel down. And it's completely illegal. And I only bring that up to say, I have a 15-minute video breaking down Jim Knowles' defense that I think is excellent, but I can't post it because of copyright claims. So what I did was this morning, I left it unlisted, so you can't find it on YouTube, but I did post it to our Patreon all-in subscribers and above. So you guys can watch it, and we're going to try to fight through the copyright claim. But if you want to watch it, it's a really good video. And if you're not already a Patreon subscriber, you should do it to support the show and get some extra content like this, situations like this. We've had our website crash. We've had a number of things happen with iTunes, YouTube. It's always something. But the Patreon feed is always up to date, and it's always first out. You get shows early. You get additional content. So anyways, the moral story is the Jim Knowles defense is up for Patreon subscribers. I wanted to make sure you knew. If you're an all-in subscriber or above, patreon.com/menace2sports, and we will try to figure out how to do it legally on YouTube in the future so we don't get these stupid copyright dings. Right. But I just wanted to update you on that. Also, zone6.com is free. 7-day free trial. Go check it out. Learn football at a higher level, I guess. I don't know what else to say. I've told you all about it. And if you're not interested, you're not interested. That's good, right? We all, life is full of decisions. It's the greatest gift God gave us is free will. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can subscribe to OnlyFans. You can subscribe to Premium Pornhub. You can subscribe to zone6.com or none of it. Right.
Honestly, on the hub front, save your money, DM me. I have a premium login just ready. So I'll hub on anybody.
You do. Lifetime, it's not mine. No, it's lifetime member.
So you got these gains. Anyway, also I typed up like four or five questions for Zach, guys, but if you guys want to keep firing them in the chat as well, I'll try to get to the good ones there as well. And then also I did put a prompt in the chat, like, what is the best name in Ohio State football history? If you have one, Zach, you can fire it away, but everyone, Tough Borland, Tippy Dye, Steel Chambers.
Yeah. Hopalong Cassidy. Chad just mentioned, how do you beat Hopalong? I mean, his name wasn't really Hopalong, but it's a nickname, but you got to love it, right?
You know what one of my favorite names in college football history was, in terms of like just watching all around the country? Dude, I loved Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that name stuck with me. And you come down and pop you. Just the announcing calls, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Ha Ha. That's just crazy. Who names their kid Ha Ha?
I don't want to speak on it because I know he's with the shits. Anyway, I do want to ask you, Zach, do you think the 2021 Ohio State Buckeyes overachieved, or do you think they were right where they're supposed to be, or do you think they underachieved? Because early in the year, you and I talked, and you said on a couple shows, that you thought the window, the championship team for Ohio State would always be 2022. So did 2021 overachieve, and explain why you thought it'd be 2022 and not 21?
Well, I mean, it's just the, I guess my experience in the game and industry tells you that 2021 year wasn't going to be a championship year. I mean, it just wasn't, for two reasons. One, CJ Stroud was going to be a rookie quarterback, as good as he is. He's probably going to be the number one overall pick, which means he was outstanding, but I just didn't see, I guess what I heard from inside the building, what I heard from people around the program that watched him and experienced him, you know, in practice in 2020 and then leading up to 2021, was he still had a ton of stuff that he needed to improve, right? And we watched it play out, right? And so I think that was the number one reason. I didn't think CJ Stroud was a national championship caliber quarterback yet. He certainly is going to be. Right, but I didn't think he was going to be yet. Now they could have overcame that because of the talent they had around him, but the main reason was they were so bad defensively. And I'm not talking about statistically. I'm not talking about consistently in 2020. I mean scheme adjustments. You could tell something was fucked up, and they made no changes in the offseason. So I honestly, and I talked about it before the season, I talked about it early in the season, and the problem is fans don't like to hear it, right? They only want to hear butterflies and roses. They only want to hear that the team's going to bounce back and win it all. And man, this feels like the 2014 year after Virginia Tech when they lost to Oregon. It's like, time out, guys. This is different. 2014, the defense was solid, right? Offensively, we got caught off guard. It was so different. And That was the biggest reason why I saw 2021 playing out the way it did. I predicted that if Michigan was going to win a game, it was that year. Before the season, I said, if Michigan's going to win a game in this rivalry series, it's going to be this year. And nobody wanted to hear it. People got so pissed at me about it. I mean, our handicappers predicted Michigan to go under wins. And I'm like, come on, guys. They're a senior laden team and they have to win. And sure enough, they did. But I think the 2021 team did exactly what I thought they would do. Now, did they underperform? Absolutely. That defense should not have been that bad. They were more talented than it showed on the field, but that's coaching, right? So could the team have performed better? Yes, with different coaches on defense, right? And so I guess it's a hard question to answer. Like, with the situation, the coaches they had, the players they had, no, that team played exactly how I thought they would. But, you know, if you took Jeff Hafley or Chris Ash or hopefully Jim Knowles and made them the defensive coordinator in January of 2021. Yeah, I think that defense is a lot better. And I think the season plays out a lot differently. Now, do they win a national championship? I don't think so, but maybe at least then you're in the conversation, right? They weren't in the conversation last year.
Something I thought was interesting. I was looking at a collection of talent and the blue chips versus non-blue chips for all defenses across the country. And Ohio State had one of the, you know, 10 best defenses in terms of talent on the roster, and yet they were the only team inside the top 10 talent-wise that was outside the top 15 total defense, which is really alarming, and that kind of points to one thing, and that one thing is coaching. So that does make sense. So right now, what is your expectation for 2022 Ohio State to make the playoff or to win the whole thing?
Well, my expectation is that they will win the whole thing, because – and not that – you know, it's. I think it's always unfair in the spring to have an expectation that a team is going to win the national championship. But that is the goal right now. Not that it isn't any year, but when you look at this team, this is the formula to win it, right? An improved defense, a veteran quarterback that's going to be a number one overall pick, going to be in New York City. I mean, this is when they have to win it, right? If they don't win it this year, you're looking at 2022 or 2023, and you're sitting here saying, man, kind of the same story, right? Not the defensive side, but now who do you have? Kyle McCord or Devin Brown or whoever's the quarterback's going to be. And can they really come in year one and light the world on fire? It's just rare that happens.
Even with number one overall picks,
even with quarterbacks that go down as generational quarterbacks, that first year, there's some growing pains. And it takes a really solid team around a rookie quarterback to make a push like that. Look at Joe Burrow. Look at some of the best quarterbacks we've seen over the last two decades. That first year, it's not like they come out in that first year, you're saying, man, this guy is it. Now, you can always point to guys like Dwayne Haskins who came out 1 year and just phenomenal, right?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a couple guys that have done it. And if it is Kyle McCord, being on campus for 2 years before he takes a meaningful snap matters, because he – he'll walk out day one and he knows the offense as well as you can, right? He's had 2 years to study it without having any pressures or setbacks by getting, you know, wiped out in a game or losing a game and everyone blaming him and telling him he sucks. Like, none of that has happened to that kid yet. So he's going to be solid from a mental side of viewpoint. And so I just think this is the window. And if they win it, man, you could talk about recruiting goes up, the freshmen that come in, you might get some freshmen that could come in and impact early. And then 2023 looks a little different.
If Kyle McCord and Devin Brown are both like neck and neck, and maybe Kyle McCord is just a little bit better, do coaching staffs tend to give the nods to the younger guys because they know they'll get them longer, or will the best player no matter what always play?
I think
is that more of a fan thing?
It just depends. They're never going to give the nod to anyone that's not the best player. One of them, like, I've never seen two players that are just absolutely tied, mm-hmm. right? Someone is always, even if it's slightly better, it gives you a better chance to win or is a better leader. There's always something that sets someone apart, and they're never going to pick a kid because he's younger. It's always going to be, you know what? This kid is it. Now, that's, I say that's 90% of the time what happens. The 10% is 2015, right? Urban Meyer picks Cardale Jones mainly because he knows JT Barrett's such a good leader and good dude that JT is not going to become cancerous in the locker room, and JT's not going to transfer and leave. So he was looking at it long-term, like, all right, Cardale could be the guy in 2015. He leaves, JT will stay, and then JT will be the guy in 2016. Where if you do the vice versa, Cardale ain't staying. Mm-hmm. Ain't hanging around, and in Urban's opinion, wasn't going to be a good influence on the locker room. So he made a decision based on that. Albeit JT Barrett really looked like shit in training camp. He had a bad training camp. So he helped Urban come mm-hmm. to that decision. But I don't know.
I don't know how much you read that training camp in 2015 and 2016 about kind of your unit, the stuff being said. It was like, you know, JT Barrett missed a lot of balls today, but he's throwing the ball where the ball should be, and the receiver just aren't there yet. And when they get up to speed, things will be good. And that was one of the more puzzling things. And that's how the writers around the scene were trying to justify all the balls hitting the ground. I don't know if you ever saw
that. I never read any of that, but that's writers for you.
I mean, it was quite something.
Chris, I got to play this video. My man Elk sent it in our Menace group chat, and he just mentioned in there that I should play this video because it might be one of the best post-game interviews in the history of athletics. It's a pitcher from the LSU Tigers who I don't know if they needed a hitter or what happened, but his coach asked him, like, have you ever hit before? And he's like, yeah, I hit in high school. I hit bombs. I hit nukes. He's like, all right, you can hit. And so he let him hit. And then the post-game interactions afterwards are hilarious. So I'm going to share this screen and I'm going to play it for you because it is absolutely hilarious.
Let's go. I love a good – oh, this is why we love Fridays.
What was your mindset when you stepped in the batter's box?
Go yard. I'm in. I'm going to pick the line out, swing as hard as I can. I got nothing to lose.
What did Paul Maneri tell you before you walked up there?
Well, I mean, at first he said, you know, just go up there. Don't swing the bat. Don't do anything. I wanted to change the pitch, and I was like, he's getting scared out there. He's like, yeah, did you ever hit an ice cream? I go, I hit bombs. He's like, all right, I swing away.
A few moments later.
When's the last time you've had an at-bat in a competitive baseball game?
High school, I guess. Coach, I'll be honest, I didn't hit in high school. Let me. You know, I hit BP a couple times. I did hit nukes, I'll tell you that. But yeah.
You didn't even hit in the games in high school?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't let me. But
I guess it was
so you practice. Lied to me?
I wanted to swing.
My man said, I hit in high school. He lied to his coach.
Emphatically lied. You know, his boys from high school texting him, like, boy, you know damn well you didn't
hit in high school. You ain't never hit in high school. Todd? Of course, his name's Todd. Damn, Todd. You ain't never hit in high school.
I love Fridays, dog. So I'm going to be honest with y'all. I love it. I'm here for it.
Hilarious.
I'm more here. Well, it's interesting. I guess baseball recruiting isn't that top end because, I mean,
you think you would know that, right?
Exactly.
If you recruited a five-star pitcher, you think you would know? Is he Shohei Ohtani, or like what do we got here?
Like, does he hit? Like, you pull up the games. Like, does he hit? I don't know. Right. Whatever. I do want to ask you about 2014. And how surprised were you as a coaching unit that 2014 was a year ahead of schedule? Because that was something that Urban said right afterwards. Like, we thought it would be 2015 that won the title, not 2014.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you watch the team develop. And you really got to watch, you know, defensive players come to life, Curtis Grants take over the team, and leadership really form, and the culture and what happened in 2014 was magical. And that's something you can't predict as a coach. Obviously, you're fighting every day to develop that and have it blossom like that, but you can't predict that going into a season, that Curtis Grant is going to turn into one of the greatest leaders you've ever seen in your career, or that, you know, a redshirt freshman, JT Barrett, is going to play the way he played and he's going to break his leg. And Cardale Jones, who was kind of a slap, like not a real serious guy, didn't approach football very seriously the year before, turn into a grown ass man and go out there and light the world on fire. That Devin Smith was going to become one of the greatest deep ball threats in the history of college football. Like Ezekiel Elliott was going to become a generational back. Like those things, you didn't see those things even in spring. Mm-hmm. And so for them to happen the way they happened, it really is, it's kudos to those kids. I mean, all the credit goes to the leaders of that team, and the coaches deserve a lot of credit too for developing it. So that was not a, like 2015 was a team where you looked at it, you know, in the off season, in preseason, in spring ball, in training camp, and you looked at it, you said, wow, this team is a national championship caliber team. Like you could see it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just not something you can predict, like 2014 happening.
If they did a 30 for 30 on that 2014 Ohio State team and they called you, would you be in it?
Hell no, they wouldn't put me in it.
I'm saying, would you if they called?
Oh, yeah, I would definitely be in it. I would give them more real content than anyone out there.
You think it's coming? You think at some point they're going to get one?
No.
I think they're going to get one. I think they need one. A 30 for 30, I mean, a third string quarterback, Zach. Like,
I mean, they should.
Went through,
they should.
I don't know. But there was definitely some moments. I think that team deserves
30 for 30 is an ESPN deal, and ESPN does not mess with Ohio State. So no.
I know, but like they mess with ratings. They mess with dollar signs.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I guarantee you that 30 for 30 would lap almost every other 30 for 30 they've done. Like,
no doubt. But they would find a way to make it something woke. It'd probably be about me and domestic violence or something. It would be something like that. And all of a sudden you'd be like, what the hell? We just wanted to hear about the football story because that we're not trying to hear about that bullshit.
They would try to turn it into vacate the national title because of Zach Smith.
Take the banner down.
Take it down. Dude, the play where Cardale Jones ran over that nose tackle from Oregon lives in my head forever. It's like that team had that level of like, we have to go get it. We have to go get it.
Hungry-ass team, though.
Yeah, that we didn't see from C.J. Stroud and last year's team. Like, they're just that fire, that leadership.
It's culture, culture and leadership is what it is. Mm-hmm. Culture and leadership.
Like I look around and on this current Ohio State team, and I keep thinking to myself, who is the vocal leader? Who is the great leader on this defense?
On this defense right now, mm-hmm. That's to be determined, right? It's got to be a linebacker or safety, in my opinion. I mean, the best leaders I've seen defensively are Curtis Grant was a middle linebacker, Christian Bryant was a safety. I mean, it's got to be somebody in the core of that defense, and so I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Tanner McAllister coming in. I mean, he got his black stripe removed. I mean, we'll see if he's a great player. We don't know that yet. I don't know. Taraja Mitchell is the guy that I think has the intangible qualities. If he can get on the field, if he's good enough to play, and mm-hmm. if he gets developed and coached to be that guy, right? And like I mentioned, Curtis Grant was not an every down linebacker. Him and Raekwon McMillan rotated. So it's not even about, you don't have to be the best player on defense, but you have to play. You have to be respected, and then you have to have that leadership skill.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Zach, this is my personal question, because I noticed a couple little things that Devin Smith said after you guys beat Alabama about Landon Collins being overrated. Was that you trying to kind of put the chip in his head like you did with Michael Thomas about, oh, they don't think you can do this? They don't
no, that's
do that.
That's honest evaluation. Landon Collins was overrated as shit. I mean, he's a good player. Obviously, he's still playing in the NFL, but you watch his college tape and he made some plays. But then you watch that Ohio State game. He folded up. He folded up, and you could see it on film leading up. He was a prima donna player, right? And Nick Saban even said in the post-game press conference, like he felt like there were some guys that were more worried about and thinking about the NFL and their future and making money in their pro career than they were about that game. And you could see that, right? You watched Evan Spencer push crack Landon Collins twice, and the second time he's on the field telling Evan, hey, bro, chill. And it's like, chill? Bitch, we're trying to win a national championship. You fucking get your ass off the field then. And then Cardale ran his ass over. He wanted no part of Cardale. See, you saw that front runner shit on film. And so I just showed it to my guys. I'm like, listen, because it's all American, you know, going to be a top 10 pick, all this other stuff. I put up a cut up. I said, listen, this is a top 10 pick. He might be, but I got no worries. We're gonna eat his ass up.
You know, get it how you live it. As a draft nerd, do you know, Zach, before that game, he was kind of a top 10 projected pick. And after that game, you know where his draft stock fell to?
No.
Second round.
Yeah.
Like you guys, you know, talk about pockets. You guys took probably about $10 million away from Landon Collins.
Which, I mean, you know, I don't ever want to take away someone's money, but hey, it's a dog eat dog world on that field. So you better bring it. And he did not bring it.
I did not know he was talking crazy about Evan Spencer.
Yeah, he was like, chill. It's like, chill. We're trying to win.
That's when you should have known it was over. When he's saying chill, that's crazy. You know, he went to my Giants and was hit or miss. He was always getting toasted deep, though, man. He was always a couple steps too slow. Better Heisman bet, Henderson at 40-1 odds or Jackson Smith and Jigba at 50-1 odds? Are they both crazy bets not worth touching?
No, I mean, Travion Henderson has a shot. JSN won't. I just don't see it happening. I think they're going to be too talented at receiver and they spread the ball around too much. I mean, if I don't see Ryan ever game planning games the way that Sarkisian did at Alabama for Devontae Smith, and it's not a knock on Ryan. He certainly could do it, but they just run their offense, right? And they get guys in positions with matchups for sure. But Devontae Smith, you watch the national championship game, you watch some of those games, there's like a good 20 plays designed to just get him the ball.
It's like a running back almost.
And it's what we used to do at Florida with Percy Harvin, right? You have a great player and you just find a way to make sure that kid touches the ball 12 times a game, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to. And I don't think Ohio State needs to do that because they're so loaded. And I don't think it's not a knock on JSN. I mean, I think he's a really good player, but Travion Henderson definitely has better odds. If I was putting money on one of the two, it would be Travion Henderson for sure.
It's really interesting, the Devontae Smith thing, because Steve didn't really do that until Jalen Waddle went down. Like, when they had three really good receivers on the field, they weren't doing that. They almost did it out of necessity rather than anything else because they were so thin at wide receiver because that wide receiver coach wasn't really developing very well. So when they were down to one, they used the hell out of the one.
And they found ways to get him the ball. Exactly. So I just don't see it happening with a Mecca Egbuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., Julian Fleming. And then with Travion Henderson is the ultimate touch stealer, right? Yeah. Because they're going to try to get him the ball a ton
touchdown
too.
Stealer, right? Touchdown stealer. He's going to steal the touchdowns. And then obviously the big thing is it's a quarterback's award.
It definitely is.
And CJ Stroud is going to be at the helm of, you know, he's driving the Ferrari. So that's just what it is. Also, I don't know if you saw J.E. Hall, the super talented kid from Alabama, is in the transfer portal. Don't know where he's going to end up, but he might end up in Texas, to be honest.
He should.
Going to play with Quinn Ewers. Yeah, that's honestly where I would go. What's one player you lost a recruiting battle for that if you could go back and change it today, you would automatically – one recruiting battle that you lost that you could change that you got the kid, who would you pick?
Jerry Judy.
I was going to say, I think I know Jerry Judy. You very highly of Jerry Judy.
I mean, I was his first offer when he was a summer after his freshman year, and it's just – if Alabama wasn't – Bama. Deep in the pockets in South Florida, I would have got him. But he was going to Alabama from day one, especially after we offered him, because then you knew Bama was going to offer him right away. And they did. And it was like, damn.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. I mean, I wasn't willing to get in the mud with Bama and set up fake test sites for Calvin Ridley and do all that bullshit. And because they did it, they got Calvin Ridley and they ended up getting Jerry Judy too. So it's just I didn't really feel like we had a shot at Calvin Ridley. But I know we had a shot at Jerry Judy, and that's the one that I don't wish I would have done it differently, because I never cheated in recruiting in my entire career. But man, if NIL existed back then, Jerry Judy would have been a Buckeye. I can fucking guarantee you that.
Heard. When you lose out on kids, do kids ever reach out to you a couple years down the road? Like, man, I wish I would have came to Ohio State, or do they?
All the time. I mean, Tyjon Lindsey, a great example. Mm. Chose Nebraska because of a bunch of Adidas bullshit. And I mean, it was not even 9 months in Lincoln, and he's reaching out, and I, you know, I can't respond, but he's telling recruits. He told Cam Brown, man, biggest mistake I ever made. I should have went to Ohio State. You should go there. Like when Cam Brown's committed to Nebraska, like damn. but yeah, it happened all the time. Not, you know, not usually in a big time recruiting battle where a kid picks Alabama or picks Clemson. They're usually either satisfied there or they probably wouldn't have played at Ohio State either. Right. But it's the ones that made decisions based on dumbass reasons and picked Nebraska over Ohio State. And it's like, man, was that really a good choice? And they end up finding out, nope, it wasn't.
That's kind of the one that I thought of. I thought about him. And then I kind of sometimes think about Donovan Peoples-Jones.
You know what? The other one in the chat they just mentioned was James Quick. And it's another one. Kid picks Louisville over Ohio State, number one receiver in the country, picks Louisville over Ohio State, stays home, has all his hometown friends around him. And he went there really because his dad wanted him to go to Louisville. Dad graduated from Louisville, and his dad reached out to me probably four times in his college career. Like, damn, I screwed it up. We screwed it up. He should be playing there. Even now, like I think last year, his dad reached out to me about how much of a mistake it was. So yeah, it happens. It happened all the time.
Mm-hmm. And are you allowed to text parents back when that happens or no?
No, you can't communicate with players of other schools, but after he's done playing, yes.
Yeah. I'm saying, but parents though, can you?
Yeah, no, you can't talk to the kid or his family. You can talk to his high school coach. That's about it.
Dang. So when that happens, do you usually reach out to the high school coach? Like, hey, like I'm not allowed to text.
No, I don't. You just don't respond. It's like, yeah, in my head, I say, yeah, no shit. I told you that, but gotcha. you just ignore it and keep moving. Like what's ain't got nothing to do with me now, bro. Yeah.
And the Cardinals in the transfer portal era, you would have had some
oh man,
you would have had some crazy stuff, Zach. I'm not even gonna hold you. But right now, I mean, I don't expect the receiver room at Ohio State to take any transfers for the foreseeable future. I just don't see it. You don't need it. I mean, the J.E. Hall kid would be a kid that would be worth taking a swing on if the room wasn't absolutely freaking loaded, but wow. and then one final question. One surprise player this year in the linebacker room or safety room, who you got?
Oh man. I really think I don't know that it will be a surprise, but I'm hopeful that EA will be become an alpha.
I think he hasn't been talked about. Like
they're not really talking about him much. And I don't know why. He flashed on in game film last year. I know he's doing well within the program. He's a guy that you hope, you know, whether he has a great spring or just an okay spring, you really hope that light bulb comes on, that switch gets flipped, and he has an unbelievable summer and he kills training camp and comes out as a badass. Because I'm gonna tell you what, high school film is one of the best linebackers I've seen. I mean, he was a stud, and I know he got hurt at USC, but he's the one that he's like the missing link to me. Him and Taraja are the two that you're like, man, I just would love to see them blossom into the players that they could become. And if they don't, I think there's other viable options in that room, but those two, you can't beat that veteran kind of experience that those two have, not in games, but more just being in a program for 4 years and like really being invested and sitting there saying, all right, if we're going to do this, we need to lead it. And that's what you're looking for, leadership. I don't know if Cody Simon has it. I don't think Tommy Eichenberg can be that guy. It's just that's the biggest thing I'm looking for, I guess. I'm not ready to predict that he's going to be some breakout star, but that's what they need to have happen.
My candidate, I have this unique theory that I just actually just formed in the last couple months. I think that former running backs turning linebackers, I think there's an odd feel for the game that allows them to understand run fits a little bit better than the natural linebacker and understand what a running back's thinking during the progression of a play. So mine is Diamante Tranum. He played running back at Arizona State. He's now with Ohio State with Jim Knowles. I think that he could be a guy that in the linebacker room, if he gets on the field, could really flash. I mean, and he transferred in. He didn't transfer into Sid. He's obviously going to have to compete, but he's my surprise in the linebacker room.
Yeah, for sure. And Steel Chambers, you look for Steel Chambers to make a jump along the same mold, right?
Gotcha. Well, he's not going to be a surprise for me. I'm expecting him to be an All-American.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So I think he's going to be a monster. But Zach, that's all I have for today. You got anything else?
Oh, yeah. I got a hometown hero, Chris.
Oh, that's right.
So our hometown hero for today, let me get linked up here in my headphones. They're on backwards, but it'll still work. My hometown hero for today is a super sophomore, Jack Sawyer.
Oh, Jack Attack. Okay.
From Pickerington High School. Not Pickerington. There's like 100 of them, but he's from Pickerington, Ohio. Let's get a barbershop on the phone. Oh, shoot. Nope. That's my son.
Hey, Cam.
All righty. Let's see if they know Jack Sawyer in Pickerington. What do you think? What's your prediction, Chris? Do they?
I mean, they absolutely should.
I agree.
Where do you think he gets his haircut at?
I have no idea. There's a good barbershop, though, I found, that opened at 9 a.m., so we should be open and ready for business.
He feels like a Sports Clips kind of guy.
He does feel like a Sports Clip kind of guy. No, this is like a hometown, like a old school barbershop. I even read the story about the guy that bought it and opened it. All right, here we go. Got to get an answer.
Randy's Barbershop.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Jim Greenlee, and I'm calling because I was down in there, it was probably a month ago, and we was talking about a local kid that went to play football for the Buckeyes. I'm not sure if it was you or another barber, and then another feller sitting in the seat. We were talking about this feller that went to play football for the Buckeyes from Pickerington, and I can't think of his name. I'm sitting here talking to my buddy at breakfast, and I was wondering if you might know who that is.
I'll tell you what, it was probably Larry, and he's not in here right now. When he gets in here, I'll ask him, and if he remembers, I'll have him call you back.
Okay, that works. So, but you're not familiar with who that might be?
I'm not, man.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No worries. I just...
It was probably Larry. He's really good at that stuff. So when he comes in, I'll ask him, okay?
I think I think that was who it was. Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we are struggling with hometown heroes. Dang, Jack Sawyer, man. How big is Pickerington North High School? How big is Pickerington?
Can't be. I have no clue. No, jeez. I don't know. I mean, he's literally probably the top rated recruit to ever come out of there, isn't he?
I don't know about that. Maybe not.
What do you mean? I mean, Jack Sawyer.
That's a shame.
He's actually the top rated recruit to ever come out of there.
I'm sure he is. He was a 5-star all everything. Oh, that's a shame, man. I had high hopes. Pickerington's not a big place, and they're kind of diehard football people. Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Well,
you're literally the number 5 player in the entire nation.
Well, they might have had someone better back in the 60s. You don't know.
The recruiting service doesn't go back to the 60s.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You don't know.
I'm saying. Okay. Calm down.
I was really hoping that was a slam dunk so we could end a Friday show with an alley-oop, but it was not. But that's all right, Jack. Get on the field a little more, make a couple plays, sack a quarterback in the rivalry game, and they will know your name in Pickerington. I can guarantee you that. That's all I got, though, Chris. Menace out.